So who is my neighbour? That was the question. And we're probably all quite familiar with this story. It's not a new one to us if we've been looking at the Bible for a while. And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan in response to being asked about how do I live a life that is worthy of getting into heaven. And when we hear this story, often the focal point is the Samaritan man, right? And we're probably most drawn to him. What was his motivation? What was his heart? And looking at his actions. But I want to spend a little bit of time this morning thinking about and learning from the others in this story, like the priest and the Levite and the man who asked in the first place, who is my neighbour? The story itself was Jesus' reply to the question, who is my neighbour? So I've got two questions for you to get us thinking as we start off this morning. So if everyone can stand up, I've got two questions. Question number one, so I want you to think about, has anybody ever done something for you because they love you and they've gone out of their way and they've maybe spent money, time, put a lot of effort in, somebody who loves you? Has somebody ever done that for you? And if they have, you can stay standing. And if no one who loves you has ever done that, you can sit down. What do you reckon? Good. Everybody is standing. Wonderful. I hope everybody is standing. Okay, second question. What about if you have done something for somebody that you love? Have you ever put in time, maybe some money, lots of effort? Have you put in effort to do something for somebody that you love? Stay standing if you have, and sit down if you think, oh, I've never done that. Everybody is standing. Amazing. Okay, you can all sit now. It's not an answer to a question. That's wonderful. And that kind of love is part of what it is to be part of the body of Christ. Not saying that people who aren't in a body of Christ don't do that, but it is part of what the body of Christ is, to have that kind of love, a reciprocated love where we do things for people who love us and people who love us do things for us. I can actually, just to give an example, remember a phase of the COVID restrictions, because we went through so many phases of different rules, but there was a phase where if you or somebody in your household had COVID, then your family had to isolate, or your household, but the rest of the world was free. And during that phase, I can just remember thinking, gosh, I can really see the love of Christ and the body of Christ's love in action during that, because as isolation and sickness went from household to household, the rest of us who were still out and about jumped into action. So we had people drop meals round, come over to walk our dog, pick up our groceries, that sort of thing, when we weren't allowed to leave the house. And then we went and did the same for others. So that kind of love is very important. And I think that that is what Jesus talks about in John 13:35. When he says, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. But that kind of love is not what is being highlighted in the story about the Samaritan. I have two more questions for you, if you would like to stand again, please. Okay. Have you ever gone out of your way and done something really kind that took a lot of effort or some effort for somebody that you don't know, a complete stranger, you know nothing about them? If you have put in some time and effort to do something for a stranger, stay standing. And if not, have a seat. That one's harder, right? It's harder to go out of your way and do things for strangers. But some of us have done it, so that's great. Now, next question. So we all stand again. Do you think it would be easier to go out of your way and do kind things and put in time and effort for a complete stranger or for somebody who is kind of your enemy, who comes from a group who have done wrong things to you or your family? Is it easier to put in time and effort for the stranger or for someone who's done you wrong? So everyone's saying the stranger. Yeah, stand up if it's the stranger and sit down if it's the enemy. Right, I agree. Okay, you can all sit down. I agree. It is the hardest person to help and go out of your way for and put in time and money and effort for is your enemy. But in this story from Jesus, he is highlighting the enemy as our neighbor. There's a reason that in this story, the traveling man was going to Jericho, because the road in real life that the man would have traveled was primarily used by Jewish people to go from Jerusalem to Jericho to get from temple to temple. And there is a reason that the helper was a Samaritan man, because Jewish people and Samaritan people were in conflict. They hated each other. And we can even see that the Samaritan people rejected Jesus himself during his travels from town to town when he was alive on earth, because he was en route to Jerusalem through Samaria. In Luke 9:51-53, it says this: as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. So they hated each other. They were not seeing eye to eye. And in response to the question, who is my neighbor? Within this story, Jesus explicitly says, look, even your worst enemy is your neighbor. And he even takes it a step further, because he makes the Samaritan, who was the bad guy as far as the Jews were concerned, he makes him the hero of the story. He's the one who helps the Jewish man. The Jewish man who's been, you know, who's the, in real life, the middle upper class, good, well-standing citizen. He's the lowly, needy one in the story, and the Samaritan is the hero. Now, I wonder about this enemy who is my neighbor. And I wonder about the priest and the Levite who passed him by. Maybe it was just meant to be a trivial detail of the story that two well-to-do men pass by somebody in need. But I wonder, what made them think that it was okay to just leave this man there? And are there times when I am more similar to the priest and the Levite than I would care to admit? How could they walk on, completely unaffected by this man's poor state? He obviously needed help. And even though they themselves came from learned backgrounds, they should have known. They were the ones who knew the right thing to do. Could it be possible that sometimes, as a collective group, people can exclude someone from the realms of your love and care? Whether we do it consciously or subconsciously, could there be a line drawn in the sand where collectively we say, if you are outside of here, then it is okay because you're not within our line? Maybe we'd still pray for their salvation. Maybe we'd still say hi and smile on the street. But if it came to spending time close in their company, giving our time of day and our efforts and our money to help them with their needs, we too would feel fine saying no, because there's a collective understanding that we disagree with those people, and we too might justify walking past a neighbour in need. I'm not saying that our church has public enemies and we've all colluded and named our enemies. It's not like that at all. But I want you to take a moment to think about what the Samaritan did for the Jewish traveller in our story. And then think about doing that for the least desirable person you can think of. That is your neighbour. And there will be people in your life who will justify you not helping that person. If they're that undesirable, maybe even your parents would tell you it was unwise. Maybe a group of friends, your work friends, would say, oh, it's unsafe. Or maybe even church friends would say, no, you don't have to help them. Of course, there would be people who would make you feel like you have permission to leave the other out. And I think that's why the priest and the Levite could carry on walking. They were pardoned by society. It was normal. Of course you wouldn't stoop down to help that person. And here's the challenge that I want to leave you with this morning from the end of that Bible verse. Luke 10:36-37 says, "Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus told him, "Go and do the same." So yeah, I hope that each of us can think about this story and think about what is Jesus trying to teach us, because the overall theme of the story might be the same to everyone, or we help others. But there are so many different parts that might stand out to every different person. So think about the story as you go about your day, as you go about your week. What is Jesus trying to teach you with that story?